Open your Bible to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Title of my message tonight, I am thy Savior. He said it to, the Lord said it to Israel, to Judah particularly, in this passage. And of course, he's our Savior as well. Isaiah ministered between about 740 and 680 B.C., His writing is part of what we call the major prophets. The major prophets are major because they're larger and they're more broad in their scope. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel, the major prophets. Isaiah was a pre-exilic prophet, speaking primarily to and of Judah. And so pre-exilic because his prophecy was before the exile into Babylon for the 70-year captivity there. But while he was prophesying, the northern kingdom, the northern 10 tribes, went into captivity in Assyria. So it's about that time. He prophesied of the rise and fall of Assyria early on in his prophecy. You remember the northern tribe fell in 722 B.C. The rise and fall of Babylon is also discussed. Judah fell to Babylon in 586, Jerusalem was sacked and the temple destroyed. He prophesies about the coming of the Messiah, a second coming of Messiah, when there'll be a restoration of the nation of Israel. Chapter 42, just before our text in 43, speaks of Christ, a servant of Jehovah. It speaks of Israel as being the chosen of the Lord, the chosen people of the Lord. We call them his covenant people. They were a special people and are a special people and will be a special people in the mind and eye of the Lord. Chapter 42 speaks of sin and God's chastening upon his people, particularly Judah. We come to chapter 43, and that reveals God's next step. After the sin, after the chastening, there's going to be a restoration. The restoration of God's people, redeemed and restored for fellowship together with their Messiah. Nothing will destroy this nation. Nothing will thwart his plan. Not even their own sinfulness, their wickedness. There's going to be a remnant saved out of Israel that enters into the millennial kingdom and will be the people of God. These words, of course, in chapter 43 are spoken and pertaining to God's covenant people. As I have said, the northern tribes already captive. The southern tribes, 100 years later, 100 years plus later. Here is a promise of deliverance and restoration. But Isaiah 43 reveals more than God's plan to restore Judah, to restore Israel. It says something of the character, the nature, the heart of God, the love of God for his people. Is there anything here for us? What do you think? Most definitely. The whole Old Testament, the things is particularly the history of Israel, is written for our admonition. And we're supposed to learn by their example and learn about God. And what we know about God, much of his character we find out in the Old Testament. Who God is and what God is. So there is, on a different scale, we're promised chastening. There's going to be chastening like there was for Israel, chapter 42. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be deliverance for his people here in our day. And, in a sense, restoration. When we're gathered around the throne, the Bible tells us, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We're going to have that. Israel had that. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On a different scale and in a different era, the same things are given to us that were given to Israel in that day. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air, or in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there's going to be a time of reunion and restoration. The same things promised to Israel in a different way and in a different time are promised to us. So not spoken directly, though not spoken directly to us, these revelations about the character of God, well, certainly God's not changed. They were his people, so are we, right? We're his people. No, we're not Israel. There's definitely a difference, there always will be, but we're chosen people of God as well. And he's given us many promises. And God's character and God's love, they're universal, aren't they? They're universal and they're eternal. He says to them and to us, them as in Judah, and to us, Corinth Baptist Church, verse 1, chapter 42, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Don't you like the sound of that? But now, he starts with but now. We could say, well, if now, then what about before now? What do you mean, but now? Could be another way of saying notwithstanding. Either way, we need to look back and see what he just said. I just told you chapter 42 is talking about chastening and judgment because of their rebellion. But now, or in spite of the fact that judgment is sure, he tells them in chapter 43, fear not. Humanly speaking, is that possible? Lord, fear not. What do you mean, fear not? We need to take this to heart for ourselves as well. Humanly speaking, they had every cause to fear. They were going to be captive in a Gentile, foreign nation that was going to have their thumb on the head of Israel for 70 years. Well, why not fear? They didn't know our God. It's going to be hard there. Fear not, the Lord says. Why should they not fear? Because thus saith the Lord, who, what? Created you. He created thee, talking to Israel, maybe to look back at Abraham. He promised a seed to Abraham through which all the earth would be blessed. That seed became a nation more than the stars of heaven, more than you can count. So he did create a nation. He says, thus saith the Lord, who formed thee. He calls the family of Jacob, 70, to go into Egypt, where they were shown favor for a while until that Pharaoh died, and Joseph was not known to the new Pharaohs, and then, of course, it was bondage for 430 years. But those 70 people became millions. God formed them as a nation. He redeemed them to buy them back out of captivity. He did, didn't he? Delivered them from that. Maybe a reference to their deliverance, but there's another deliverance ahead being promised right here in Isaiah 43. After the millennial kingdom, or before the millennial kingdom, after the tribulation period, there's going to be a redemption of them. Call thee by thy name, he said. Don't fear. Thus saith the Lord, who called thee by thy name. He knows them personally. A reference to the sovereign choice of God of Israel as a nation through which he would bring deliverance to mankind. What does this God who knows them personally have to say to them? He says, fear not, thou art mine. And that's our God. Fear not, thou art mine. These words might be dreaded in another circumstance. Have you ever seen two men get kind of angry at each other and then somebody's ready to step in and say, nope, he's mine. And they're gonna clean each other's clock or try to. And you see that situation. But this is not that, is it? This is in love. This is God claiming. This is not a slave master's relationship. We are his beloved children. Israel was the beloved of the Lord, the nation, the chosen, the covenant people of God. This is the loving heavenly Father who had proven himself faithful time and time again to them, saying to them, you're mine. So they could say with a joyful heart, I am his and he is mine. So can we. Even a greater sense than Judah could. So can we. So in spite of the fact that chastening and persecution and trials are sure, we already saw some verses, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, and count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, even though those things will come. Fear not. Why? Because thus saith the Lord who created us. Listen to this verse in Ephesians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created us, just like Israel. The words formed us. Listen to this from Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Redeemed us. Does that fit us as well? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. Called us. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name and leadeth them out. John 10:3. 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called. And what is it that our wonderful Heavenly Father has to say to us? You're mine. You're mine. It's very comforting, isn't it? Praise the Lord. He continues in verse 2, chapter 43. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. When and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. As I read that, do you think of any instances in the Old Testament past where that was the case? Literally, through the waters I will be with thee. You think of the Red Sea. Through the rivers they'll not overflow. You think of the Jordan. Through the fire, yet future at this point, through the fire will not kindle. Who do you think of? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace. Heated, was it? How many times hotter? Seven times hotter. When they opened a door to throw them in, the guards were killed by the heat. All three phases might also be sort of parabolical in a reference to extreme hardship. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 66:12. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. It was the experience of Israel enough to where when they wrote songs, they wrote about it. God did exactly what he promised to do here in Isaiah 43. How's all this deliverance possible, one might ask? Verse 3 says, for I am the Lord. L-O-R-D, capital, all the letters capital. I am Jehovah, the self-existent one. The self-sufficient one. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. For I am the Lord thy God, he says, the Holy One of Israel. 25 times that phrase appears in Isaiah. It has to do with the covenant relationship, that phrase, from Isaiah's perspective. A covenant relationship with his people. But he calls himself their Savior. To be saved is to be delivered. Where were they delivered? How about Pharaoh? Exodus chapter 14. Jabin, Judges 4. Midian, Judges chapter 7. The Philistines, Samson, 2 Samuel chapter 8. Zerah, the Ethiopian, 2 Chronicles 14. Sennacherib, king of Assyria. For the southern tribe, 2 Chronicles 32, they've been delivered over and over and over and over again. God was their Savior. Is he our Savior too? He says, I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba. Either Israel had to be destroyed or Egypt had to be destroyed to break up that bondage. And who was it? Well, it was Egypt. God sacrificed. That sort of passed. But there's an interesting thought here, a remarkable prophecy, if you stop and think about it, concerning the Gentile world powers yet future. The three nations that are named here, Ethiopia and Seba, were nations rewarded by God to the king of Persia, who allowed the people to come back. What was his name? Do you remember? It starts with a big C. Cyrus. Not that he won them by himself, but they were given to him when he released the people. Those were nations that he sort of inherited. You know, he's our Lord and our God. He's a covenant keeper to us as well, isn't he? He's our Savior. He paid the price for our ransom. It was a whole lot more valuable than Egypt. What's the price for our ransom? The blood of Jesus Christ. I think the parallel, as you look at the nation of Israel, and just think about who God is and what he's doing. He does it for his people. His people. Now we're his people. And he's doing the same things for us that he did for Judah back here so many years ago. Verse 4 of our text says, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." The word "since," verse 4, could be "because," literally "because thou wast precious in my sight, honorable." In contrast to the three nations that he just mentioned, they were expendable. But Judah was precious. Israel was precious in his sight, his covenant people. They had always been the chosen of Jehovah. They had not just a God, covenant-keeping God, but almost like a father-son, a parent-child relationship with his people. He cared for them. He was their Savior God. He says, "Therefore will I give men for thee." We'll kind of refer back to the verse 3 for that, the comments there. God took care of them. Were they deserving? Were they deserving? Not most of the time. So why did he do that? Why did he love them? There was a little Asian boy in my first or second, third year, I don't know, early years at school. His name was Tommy Whaley. I don't know, I just liked him. I didn't know him very well, but I liked him. I gave him my crackers when we had lunch. If somebody was picking on him, I took his side. Tommy Whaley. I don't know what happened to him since, but I liked him. And I thought, well, I'm around, don't mess with Tommy. He's a little guy. Real small guy. And they picked on him because of that. But I was his friend. We have somebody so much better than me to be a friend. And that is our God. He looks after us. We're his children. He's always near. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We're not Israel. We're believers. We've also been precious in his sight. Been precious in the sight of the Lord. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He chose us then to be conformed to the image of his Son, us believers. Verse 5 sort of resumes the thought of verse 1. He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. Fear not." Is it possible to fear not? Why should we fear not? "For I am with thee." That's reason enough. Don't worry about it. God is with you. A mother might try to comfort her child by saying, "Honey, don't worry. Your dad's going to be there." And that is comforting when my father's going to be here to a little child. How much more this promise that our heavenly Father will always be there. He knows what we need. He understands. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 to 7. You remember Elisha and Gehazi? The Syrians were coming to get him, and they were surrounding his little house with their chariots. And Elisha had to pray to the Lord, "Lord, open Gehazi's eyes, let him see." And what did he see? Those chariots were surrounded by chariots of fire all around. Same God. And he says to you and me, fear not, you are mine. Isn't that comforting? Praise the Lord. We're his chosen people. He loves us. We have the same promises given to us here in the New Testament. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you alway, even to the end of the earth, to the end of the world. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6, I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. So he says, after this Babylonian captivity, there's coming a time. After the Babylonian captivity, they're going to come back to Israel. That's a little fulfillment of it, but there's a great fulfillment of these promises coming, isn't there? When Messiah comes back, and the Lord's going to have all of his sons and daughters come back home. It's a little more than let my people go. It's actually escort them back to the land. Verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Called by my name. Israel was. They were called the people of Jehovah. Israel means prince of God or soldier of God. He created him, formed him, made him, it says. Could be translated, that last word, made him, could be translated completed or matured. That's the idea. Process that would bring them to perfection. This is how God's talking about his people, Israel. But God created us, he formed us, he called us, he will perfect us. The same promises are ours in Christ. Oh, we're never going to be Israel. Israel is Israel. It's a nation. It's a people. But we're a people of God too. The body and bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same covenant-keeping God, the same everywhere present God of Israel is my God. He said, fear not, you're mine. He said it to Israel, and it is true for us as well. So in spite of sure persecution, testing, trials, we don't need to fear because the God who created and formed and redeemed and called us says, you're mine. When we pass through the waters and the fires, he said, I'll be with you. He is the Lord and God. He is our Savior, our Deliverer, our Redeemer. And he'll never forsake us. Wonderful words from Isaiah. When we read the Old Testament prophets, when you read the Old Testament prophets, look for the character of God. See if you can learn more about God, your God, your God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share these thoughts tonight. Lord, what a blessing. What a blessing. Especially when we see ourselves in light of time and eternity. We see our frailness. We see the brevity of life. We start to understand a little bit about our eternality, Lord. We're eternal souls. And we know the God, the Creator, and we call Him our own. And He calls us His own. What a great God you are. Lord, we praise you and thank you, our Savior God, our Deliverer, our God. We come to you by the merit and in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.